Today I'm going to talk about what is the whole point of studying as a Christian. Okay, I think this is a question which every true blue Christian would have asked. Every Christian who is serious about the faith, we will ask, why should we be studying at all, since our end goal is to serve the Lord? Am I right? Do you ever ask that? Like, do we need good grades or degree to minister to people? You know, sometimes we can't help but feel that the reason of being pressured to study by everyone around us comes from the structural system of the world. That's because the whole world is talking about getting a good degree and landing up in a good job, pave the way for a brighter future, better career, and so on. And since young, you know, I've been brought up in a church where ministers of the church always tell me, you know, you need to study hard, get good grades, so that you can be a good testimony for the Lord. Now, do you hear that? Now, I always hear that when I was young in the church. Now, honestly speaking, I wasn't so convinced. So I somehow felt, now, it's more of a world thing than really, you know, in good conscience and good faith, we are doing this for the kingdom of God. So I kept asking myself, how do we reconcile living for the kingdom and being put here to pursue a academic qualification and being pressured about grades from semester to semester? And when you reach your last year, people are talking about a GPA. Even now, I mean, yeah, and then whether you end up with a good honors and all. Now, I want to let you understand, the world that we are living in right now will always try to create a sense of superiority. Now, pardon my spelling, okay? You know, superiority. Now, and thereby, because of that sense of superiority, the world will push us towards achieving excellence. Now, do you realize that? And the world will always push us to pursue excellence. Excellence in studies, excellence in career, excellence in sports, excellence in performing arts, and all. And you see, the world gravitates towards excellence. It is driven by a call to excellence. You do something, you do it well. You play a sport, you play it well. Now, my daughter was a netball player in primary school. Her netball team always made it to the national team and national top three. And, of course, you know, the principal would say, you know, it's not about the sports, it's about friendship, sportsmanship. But ultimately, I think what everyone is looking out for is championship, you know, especially when you're at the top. Now, you see, the world always drives us to excellence. But in Christianity, we are driven by, can you tell me? Purpose. Do you realize that? As Christians, we are driven by purpose. We know God created us with a purpose. And redemption brings with it a whole new purpose of our lives. So now, I'm not saying that we Christians don't pursue excellence. But there must be a purpose for excellence, isn't it? Now, you look at the book of Daniel. You look at Daniel and his three friends. They were most excellent, right? They were the best. You read the book of Daniel, you will see, wow, how learned they are, how intelligent. But the sad thing to say is, most of the people who read the book of Daniel were just captivated by how intelligent, how learned these young men are. And they are 10 times wiser than the wise men in Babylon. And people like Daniel had the gifts of dreams and vision, and he can interpret dreams. And you see, and that explains why people in the church, they're driven by the pursuit of gifts. Now, being able to speak in tongues, being able to perform healing, being able to prophesy. You know, these are gifts. Now, have you ever asked why the pursuit of gifts is so prevalent in the church? Have you ever asked? That's because gifts make you feel excellent. It makes you feel superior. Now, if you have the gift of healing, now you are like better than a doctor. You can heal someone that a doctor couldn't heal. If you have to give a prophesizing, now you can prophesize, you can know about a future where the professor in your university doesn't know. You know what I mean? No, give things, no, supernatural give things are what people are going after. Simply because it gives us a sense of excellence. Do you realize that? But if you look at the story of Daniel and his three friends, you will know what far outweighs the gifts and the wisdom they had is the purpose they've been given. Am I right? They know why they are there in Babylon. They are there to glorify God and to preserve the people of God. Don't you realize that? And they know exactly why Israel has fallen into captivity. That's because they engage in idolatry. So these people are there to set apart, to be a difference, to honor God even when they are captives in Babylon. Now that's the whole point about the book of Daniel. Now, besides that, they have gifts. They're given gifts. And God make them people who are excellent. You get what I mean? But I think before that, we got to understand it's the life that they had. It's the purpose that they know first. Before we say, wow, these people are full of gifts, full of wisdom, full of anything and all. So now back to the point of studying. Now if you get your purpose right, you know. That's the ultimate thing. If you don't get your purpose right, there's no point talking about excellence. But the thing is, with the belief with a lot of Christians is, now, if you can see that they always think this way, if I could do something well, then I could glorify God with it. Don't you realize? If I could get good grades, perfect grades, or if I can make good money, if I had a good career, if I earned a lot of money, I would offer it to God. If I get good results, no, I can glorify God with it. Now, you see, all this thing. Now, this is the often heard argument, the often heard idea in the Christian world. But I want to ask you a good question now here. You think about the story of David, King David. Now, let me ask you, did David glorify God when he was merely a shepherd boy? Or only after he became a king? Now, you know the answer, right? Now, ask you, did Samuel the prophet anoint David after he beaten Goliath or before he beaten Goliath? Now, beating Goliath is a big thing. It's an excellent thing, you know? Everyone was frightened. And this shepherd boy go there and throw a few stones and just one stone and he killed that giant. Excellent. Everyone is clapping for him. You know, he done a great thing. But the thing is, he was anointed king because the Lord God noticed his heart, his reverent heart, right before he won the battle. You got what I mean? So, I like you to think through. I'm going to think through. You see, the sad thing is most people, in fact, most Christians, they are captivated by excellence. They weren't just captivated by the purpose that David had, that Daniel and Joseph had. You think about it now. The next question I want to ask you is, if David do not know how to glorify God when he was a shepherd boy, when he doesn't know how to find joy and satisfaction and praise God while he was a shepherd boy, why do you think he would know how to praise God when he was a king? Have you ever thought so? No, I always think, no, when I read the story of David, when I read the story of Daniel and Joseph, it brings me back to think, now, we have got it wrong. A lot of people. So young men and women, now you see, if you do not know how to glorify God with just a simple student having average grades, now I had average grades when I was in uni, you see? If you don't know how to glorify God, when you're just a very average student, how will you know how to glorify God when you have achieved excellence in your lives? So I never buy the idea that when a person say, you know, if I have good grades, then I could glorify God. I would want to look at the intent of his heart. So when you are studying here, you ask, what is the intent of your heart? Are you covenanted? Do you know the very purpose that God has created you as a human being and have given you everything for the purpose of glorifying him? Now that's the thing. I can't help but feeling, you know, people nowadays, people who go to church, they already have an ideal in mind. No, they have an ideal about studies, career, marriage, and they try to fit God into their ideal by saying that if I have something good, do something well, then I'll glorify God with that. You know, I never buy that idea. It should be, as a student, first of all, that I could glorify God with whatever grades I have, with whatever I'm studying. Okay, whether you're doing engineering, you're doing arts, you're doing management, and all. Alright? But having said that, does it mean we become very carefree and cavalier about studying? Not putting our best? I mean, since Pastor say, you know, right, you can glorify God with whatever grades, you know, just take it easy every semester and all. And no, I don't think so. The Bible wants us to be very passionate in learning. So where do I get that from? Okay, so we're going to turn to the book of Daniel, okay? You could turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel, chapter 1, verse 3. Now, you have it here, chapter 1, verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, that's what the world is looking out for, alright? And also showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand. No, it's all innate in them, you know. They're just born smart, you know. And qualified to serve in the king's palace. And he was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from king's table. They will be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. You see, so no matter how smart you are, but when you are to enter serious work where you could fulfill the calling of God, there is a period of training and learning, right? And no one can be effective without training and learning, even those with good aptitude for learning. So academic training is the most basic of all training. Now, I say it again, okay? The academic training now you had in NUS, you have in NUS for 3 years, 4 years, is the basic of all training. When you go to work, there will be on-the-job training. There you will be going new places and meet new people, learning again. And then you will keep learning from making mistakes also. But you see, let me make you understand that the natural learning abilities that God has given every human being is to learn first. Okay? You have to learn things rationally. And then after that, you apply, okay, and make sure it can work practically, okay? So it's the learning first, and then the applying. Now, how do you learn to apply the Bible? You have to learn first. You have to know what the Bible talks about. You got to read the Bible. You got to dissect the expert. Expository, the word, and then after that you apply, and then you know how to go about living out the Bible. That's why I said, you see, if God, the God that we worship is, and the God that created the world, and the world that's created to be is so vast and so infinite, so diversified, and I believe God wants to give us a passion about learning and knowing. So if we are lazy about learning, you know, all we do is just stick to our handphones and all. That's not being curious about what God is doing. In fact, that's going against what God created us to be. So with more knowledge, when you learn more knowledge, you will be amazed by how great this God is. And don't you think so? And everything got to do with the fear. Now, I'm going to show you. Well, then what is the purpose of studying? Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Can we read this together? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, you know, you need knowledge first. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of that knowledge, right? So, wherever it is, fundamentally, you need to know something. You need to know knowledge. And then after that, how are you going to apply it in every situation with when you are with people, when you are on a job? That is wisdom, okay? And then Proverbs chapter 18, let's go to chapter 18, verse 15. Verse 15. Chapter 18, verse 15. Now read together, okay? Ready? The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. You got to do it with your heart and your ears. No? Your heart must be one that discern what you are reading, what you are acquiring, and your ears have to seek out the wisdom of God. Now, what is the purpose of studying? I'm going to just give you three things here. Number one. Now, if you're asking, why study? Why is all this acquiring of knowledge? Because it got to do with the fear of the Lord. Now, Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Which means to say, listen carefully, the start point of all knowledge is not from your science textbook. It's not from the literature that you've studied. Okay, the literature of this world. It's from the fear of the Lord. Meaning, you honor God. You value Him. And you prize Him above all things. And that is what drives you to want to know more about Him and His works. Don't you think so? Now, let me ask you, okay, you honor this person day after day in increasing measure. Now, then, how do you think it's possible to honor Him increasingly every day? He must have something that is unfathomable. He must be real, exquisite, infinite. There's something so special about Him that you want to know and keep knowing, right? Now, fearing God is not just a one-off emotion. You know, I just fear Him. You know, today I just sang a hymn. You know, I stand in awe of God. And no, it cannot be like that. You must know Him, keep knowing Him, and know His wonderful works. And that's where I'm trying to say, that's why God has put us in academic institution to learn about engineering science, to learn about psychology, to learn about this and that, management, and all, study about people, about relationship, and all. And the more you know, you realize, oh God, to revere you, to fear you, is not just a moment of reverence. It's because you are so infinite, beyond measure. So, you see, when I study science, and say, for instance, okay, I'm sure all of you study science and think about, okay, I always tell my children, I study science, what's so amazing about that, you know? I say, when you study science, you learn about how infinite and wise this God is. You study literature, you know? And my boy couldn't study literature. He flung all his literature papers. But I say, no, when you study literature, you are really amazed about how God created the emotions of man to be. Don't you think so? You know, the intertwining of the heart and the mind, you know, how people think and feel. You know, these are all literature stuff, you know. And when you study language, you know, when you study language, you realize how important it is to describe something, how beautiful it is to describe something with the appropriate words. Now, even as I'm talking about the Word of God now, you realize language is so important. Now, how are you to present this God to someone? Describe His beauty. You need language. Don't you realize? So, if you are a person who know the Bible, who is a believer of God, you know, you cannot just revere Him with your passion alone. You got to revere him more and more through knowing him and his works more and more. You realize that? And that is why God wants you to study with your young and capable mind. You see? So I believe that if you are a person who fear the Lord, you will not be a close-minded person. Now, you will not just be someone who only loves to read the Bible. You will like to read about everything else. You'll be open-minded about what people are saying, how the world is developing, what's going on, and you keep learning. Because everything got to do with God. You get what I'm saying? Alright? That's number one. Okay? It got to do with the fear of God. Number two. I'm just going to give you three, okay? When we're studying, okay, it got to do with resisting sins. Now, after you've come to Christ, one of the things that God wants to do in your life is to sanctify you. Right? And to sanctify you, it got to do with helping you resist sin and not live in your old nature, your sinful nature. Am I right? And one of the sins that we all have, guess what? One of the sins that we all have is laziness. Do you realize that? One of the sins we unknowingly commit all the time is laziness. Lazy to think, lazy to work, lazy to achieve breakthroughs, just want the easy way out, or just want to take shortcuts. Any one of you not lazy here? Okay. Now, okay, listen carefully, okay. We are lazy in all different sense. Okay. But let me make you understand why you need to overcome this. And trust me, okay, I serve the Lord and I manage a worldwide ministry. I can tell you there is no place for laziness in this ministry. You know, there are times in my ministry where you have to deal with difficult people and things that you have no clue about. Say, for instance, I deal with mental patient. I don't study anything about mental patient. I have to deal with unreasonable demands of people, you know, involved speaking engagement, a lot of things that is beyond my capability. Now, the thing is, yeah, what do I do when I'm dealing with this? And you got to pray. You got to read up. When you got to preach, you got to prepare your sermons, you got to do research, you know, all these things. Now, where do you think all these things come from? And how would you be equipped to do these things if we are given over to laziness, or we just want to take shortcut and all? Now, trust me, if you're really serious about serving God and living a very fruitful Christian life, you will come to a point where there are bottlenecks in your life, even in ministry that you are doing. Okay, and when there are bottlenecks in your life, meaning, for instance, you just cannot overcome that difficulty. It's like some of you, I don't know, I mean, probably you're all good in math. No, my daughter is not good in math. Yeah, she always want to give up. And then when she comes to math, you know, okay, I'll leave the math aside. I go and study literature or biology, you know. She'd rather read up all this stuff, you know. She's more a humans person. And then she would just leave the math aside, you know. And so I said, math is the thing you got to practice, you know what I mean? But the thing is, I always tell her, no, I'm fine, you know, even if you fail your math. But the thing is, I notice there's this thing in you, this escapism. You're trying to put the difficult task aside, do what you are good at, you know? Now, the thing about academic training is you are giving a whole lot of information, knowledge, and you to grasp it in time frame of like 3 years, 4 years. You learn about a lot of things, all the concepts and all. Now, there's no place for laziness, right? And even when you met with difficulty, you got to pray, rely on God, seek breakthroughs, you know, find out from a friend. Now, that's the way, you see. And that's the normal way that God is training us to be used by Him. And especially when your minds are still young and active. I always say when you are before 25 years old. Now, I don't know where I read that from. No, before 25 years old, your mind and emotions are not, your intellect that are not formed fully. I don't know, some part of your brain. I don't know. Maybe you all can tell me, you know. But somehow I felt, you know, before 25 years old, the way you absorb knowledge, you know, concepts, you know, you'd be the fastest. I don't know. Should be. So the thing is, before 25 years old, I'll encourage all of you, you know, not to work, but just get into studying, you know, acquiring knowledge and all. And then deal with the difficulty and the pressure of learning. And believe me, all this is to equip you for greater works. Of course, let me say, for a person who doesn't know God, his purpose and objective is to just make good money, enjoy good life. So all he needs is, okay, get a good degree, end up with a good job, and that's it. And money come rolling in. There's no point listening to all this, am I right? Because he has a different purpose. But not for us, people of God and all. For us, remnants, young people, we have a race to run, a battle to fight in this world. So this is just the beginning of training for you. That's why this whole point of studying is purposeful for the kingdom. And lastly, my prayer is that you become, yes, you can serve the Lord, even if you didn't study. You know, we have seen that kind of example in the Bible. People like James, John, and Peter, they are unschooled fishermen used by the Lord. But I would say, if given a choice, why do you need to study? Because you could potentially be a more effective worker for the Lord. Now, let me say this, you understand. All else being equal, it's always good to learn more. What I mean by all else being equal, meaning if your faith, 2%, your faith is the same, your life is the same, your love for people and the love for the Lord is the same. All else being equal, it's good to learn more. It's good to study. Now, you see great minds, great theologians who influenced the church for centuries or after centuries, people like St. Augustine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards. These are the top theologians and in the church history. Now, you can read about them. They are all very learned men, very intelligent, and I would say, men of great faith whom the Lord used greatly. And even people like St. Paul, you know how educated he is, was trained to be a Pharisee, he read about the law, you know, he has great and vast knowledge. And how the Lord has used him to write half of the New Testament. Am I right to say that? So as what I said, all else being equal. Of course, then you say, Pastor, how about people who are unschooled like James and John and Peter and all? Yeah, God uses these people mightily also. But that is to demonstrate the power of the gospel. Okay, but it doesn't mean that if you are given a choice, you don't study, you know, you don't put in your best. You know what I mean? But a lot of time, we might be putting in our best for the wrong reason. And that's why you got stressed up for nothing. You know what I mean? So, let me say, okay, by the time you go to work, okay, let me say, Bishan is going to graduate soon, okay. By the time you go to work, chances are you will forget about 90% of what you have learned in school. Okay, you will not end up using everything, in fact, most of the thing that you have studied. But what tertiary education has equipped you with is the know-how of independent learning. You see? Now, the know-how of independent learning. You see? Know-how. Meaning, if you are faced with a difficult task at work now, you will know where to source for information, how to do good research, and draw from credible sources. You get what I mean? So even if I want to prepare a message now, my tertiary education has taught me how not to plagiarize, and also where to draw from credible sources, how to get good information, read from who. You get what I mean? Now, these are things that the school equip you with. But if you ask me, hey, Pastor, do you remember the politics of a certain country, if you study, you know, Thailand or so many kings, I forgot all their names, the weird names, I can't remember, you know, Malaysia, you know, what their history is all about, I can't remember, I have to read up, you know what I mean? But the thing is, I got the know-how of independent learning, independent thinking, and all, from tertiary education. You get what I'm saying? So, my brethren, I said, don't despise studying and learning. In fact, put in your best. Now, for me, I finished my tertiary education like 20 years ago. You know, I did politics and economics in general. Now, honestly, I don't even have the opportunity right now to go for further study. I didn't go for seminary training. You know, I'm not a professor either, but I go on learning and relearn. I work hard. I read and all. So I didn't get the perfect grades in school, but I studied with a godly purpose, you know. So in short, for what? For the ultimate purpose of world evangelization. World evangelism, that's the ultimate purpose. And for that, I put in hard work. And for that, I read, I learn and relearn. And God has is really bringing me to the ends of the world now. You get what I mean? So, value your time here, okay? Tertiary education, it's a very short 3-4 years, I would say. You know, by the time you realize it's all over, okay, as you've graduated. But what you have acquired is the know-how of learning, and then you keep learning throughout your lives for the gospel. You understand? So that makes studying meaningful for a Christian. Okay. You get the whole idea? Alright. So, come, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word you've given us today about studying, you know. And Father, especially in this knowledge-based economy, and everyone is talking about landing up with a good degree, getting a good job. But we know very well, we are people of the covenant called for a purpose. And the end goal, the chief end of all this learning and academic training is to glorify you, is to be used by you, and to even know how amazing you are. How you have created everything and you have inbuilt knowledge in everything. So wherever you have put us in, whatever faculty we are in, let us embrace what we are studying gladfully and put in our best, and then teach us how to resist our lazy tendency and help us to overcome difficulty by the help of God. Let us trust your strength and wisdom to do our best in this tertiary education, and so that, you know, we will learn whatever that is needed for us to serve you in future productively and effectively. Thank you so much. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.